Red Line.
The results of the Iowa caucus came as a bitter pill to both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, with their leadership challenged by Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders, who are both geared to bring even more big surprises in New Hampshire. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. In an article entitled, Iowa Caucus Results, Six Things That Explain How It Happened, written by Jessica Taylor and carried by NPR, the author opens by saying that Donald Trump thought he could upend Iowa caucus traditions. The gamble didn't pay off. Hillary Clinton hoped she could wipe away her campaign nightmares of 8 years ago by posting a solid win over an insurgent Bernie Sanders. Instead, her margin of victory over Sanders was vanishingly small. Those are just some of the surprise twists for Monday night's results. She then elaborates on a list of six factors that explain the dramatic results, concluding that huge turnout didn't just benefit Trump, it also helped Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. On the GOP side, it was a three-way race for evangelical voters. Ground games and retail politics still matter. Rubio peaked late at just the right time. Sanders couldn't replicate Barack Obama's 2008 youth coalition. And Clinton still has a problem with liberals and progressives.
I think that these days, as we all of us were thrilled with the results of the caucus in Iowa, we are trying to figure out to what extent this can really come as a game changer in the whole presidential race. I think that you were right when you said, you asked that question, are kings of the road dethroned? I think probably that can be a sort of an outstretch, and some are saying that this changes little. But I personally have a feeling that we can really see some sort of a change in a campaign. And I would probably be more inclined to say that we have seen a situation when both leaders of the campaign, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, got a sort of a cold shower. When it comes to Donald Trump, as I see it, he got his first hint that good poll results might not translate to votes. Not playing to the accepted rules is a bold and flashy. And that's what we have seen. But let us not forget that the rules were not made by losers as well. That's why when some are saying that Trump bubble has burst, I say, yes, probably we see the beginning of the tendency.
Well, what I think is most important here is how Iowa changed everyone's perceptions about both the Republicans and the Democrats. And since we're discussing perceptions, I'm very happy to invite to our show our in-studio guest, Mr. Igor Palichari. He's a professor at Luiss University in Rome and also at the Higher School of Economics here in Moscow. So can you tell us more about how Iowa maybe changed your perception? I mean, you being somebody from Europe, what is the European perception of the Iowa caucuses now that we have the results in?
I think we're kind of living too much the daily horizon here. Maybe let's think where we were 1 year ago, in which we were criticizing the U.S. political system by saying, again, Bush and Clinton. Is it really happening again? And only few would say, could picture 1 year ago what we're commenting right now. So we have to give credit to the American system that this is a weakness, but also strength, because, you know, these are, here they come again. I mean, I find this history of what's happening to Clinton even more bizarre, because if you remember, with Obama was the same story. The outsider came and ruined the plan, which seemed to be already prepared, you know. And here comes Sanders again. When Obama came, it was too strong narrative for Clinton. Now we have a new narrative, the real progressive leader. I mean, if you see in UK also the new Labour, Corbyn, it's a new, somehow the public opinion wants the real progressive leftist leader and not somebody who is, you know, covering both positions. So, I mean, I think we're paying the consequences now of too many Blairism, Tony Blairism approach.
You see, what Mr. Palichari is saying, this is the basic idea that when we come to mainstream politics, the kings of the road are dethroned. This is the pen, I would say, European tendency also. That's what we see not only in
the outsiders are coming
United
in and kind of disturbing the establishment is what it seems like.
Well, you can read it from many perspectives. I would say, first of all, if I could choose one headline, I would say a lack of leadership. I mean, this is so clearly. Look, the reaction of the Western public opinions to Putin, for instance, you know. Putin is, since I've been following him as an analyst in the last 15 years, he's been saying more or less always the same, you know, like acting like the president of Russia. And according from the different phases of the reaction of the public opinion in the West, you could say either bitter criticism, very harsh accuses, and now admiration, you know. So this is clearly the lack of vitamins, which most of the political system have in the West, is lack of leadership. It reminds me of an old movie of the 50s in Italy, where there was a guy who could not find a girlfriend, and he would make eye contact with the wife of the neighbor, you know, trying to kind of, you know. So, I mean, this is like, so, I mean, you know, so and what different for Trump? I'm not sure Trump was so dethroned in Iowa. I mean, you know, I guess, first of all, they have new rules in the distribution of the delegates, the proportional rules. It's no longer this American approach, the first wins the post. So if you get 51% of the votes, you get 51% of the delegates, you know, not 100% of them. And considering that in Iowa, Trump did not have any organizational structure, I think he didn't do that bad. Let's see New Hampshire. If he loses New Hampshire, then it's a red alarm. Otherwise, I would say he's still on track.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, all eyes are on New Hampshire right now. Thanks for sharing your astute observations with us. Alrighty, so right now we're going to switch over to Mr. Eric Shirayev. He's a professor of international relations and political psychology at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia.
Red Line.
How relevant do you think, you know, all these lessons will be that we've learned in Iowa, if we have learned them, that is? How relevant do you think they'll be to New Hampshire with the upcoming primaries?
Well, lessons of primaries in Iowa are multiple, and at the same time, just was like a tossed coin. Everybody predicted Trump would win. And as we say, mainstream media would be happy that he didn't, because just his full ascendance in eyes of public opinion was unexpected. And the second interesting lesson that the Marco Rubio, the third person who finished third, he did much better than everybody thought, basically because of his excellent groundwork within the state. The most important point is that just whatever we say, and I'm just almost predicting, whatever we expect probably will not happen, so something else would happen. That's just, the element of unpredictability is so huge that's probably will be the main topic for at least for a few months of primaries in the United States.
Yeah, and you know, I understand how difficult it is to predict what's happening. I mean, nobody could have thought that we got to this point where we're at today. You know, Bernie Sanders in the race, Donald Trump, the Iowa caucus results. But what kind of factors do you think are important to New Hampshire voters that might have been different to Iowa voters? I mean, we know that we're talking about two different electorates here, one from New England, the other from the Great Plains. What are the differences between them?
Well, first of all, it's a social background, both states. But most important, that the turnout is, in fact, everything. So some people choose to stay home, even they're vocal supporters of, say, a candidate or a party, and they stay home and the party loses and candidate loses. Those who show up, in fact, they win. In fact, that just this time, the legs or rather the wheels would make a difference. People who just get up and go and vote, cast their ballots. Because, well, that's why probably opinion polls quite often are off, because we don't predict turnout models and people don't show up. To get Mitt Romney learned a hard lesson. Just the 2 million voters that he expected to cast ballots for him, 7 years ago, didn't do it. Barack Obama, same thing. That people who did not expect to cast ballots actually did. Younger people, and that was a substantial difference. This year, Donald Trump, exactly. It is so easy on the phone to say, oh, hell the system, hell with the system. I will vote for somebody fresh, somebody new. I'm so disappointed. I will vote for Trump. And then you don't show up because just simply you'll be disappointed on the phone. But actually to get up and go and cast the ballot or just vote, is a different story. And Trump, that's why just he didn't pick up as many votes as he could have and probably should have. So, and New Hampshire system is a primary system. People, get up, probably from 6 o'clock in the morning or seven until seven. So just you go there, just a local school or church, as you'll go and just cast a ballot for a candidate. Iowa is more, it was more personal, you know, just personal. People get together in big groups, just they discuss things and then literally go to different corners of room or hall just to indicate the support for candidates. So it was an element of theatrical play. It was significant there. Attention was significant there. And in New Hampshire, it's more private. So just you get up, you go, and everything is just private and go and cast the ballot. And demographically, so New Hampshire, Iowa is more working class state. Farmers, working class, middle class. New Hampshire is more diverse. Just the diversity is more significant in New Hampshire. It's definitely just East Coast United States, New England, and the more educated people overall. But the gap is not significant. Look at statistics. But historically, I would say that Iowa voters are probably more pragmatic than idealistic and ideological compared to New Hampshire.
Okay, Eric, thank you for shedding light on that and for giving us something to look forward to for the New Hampshire primaries that are coming up. Thank you. The next guest that we're very happy to welcome onto our program is Mr. Brandon Turbeville, and he's a writer and geopolitical analyst.
Red Line.
Okay, so Brandon, it looks like the Democratic primary has surprisingly overshadowed the Republican one at this point. So what do you make out of Hillary Clinton's razor-thin and sixth coin toss in a row victory over Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, well, what's interesting about that is that there's some evidence that's emerging now that Hillary actually maybe has not won the Democratic primary in Iowa, that there's so much question about fraud, vote fraud that took place there. And it might look like Bernie Sanders has actually won Iowa, but it's not going to get the delegates that corresponds with that. If you look, I mean, Hillary has more money than Bernie. She's getting donations from people like George Soros. Apparently she received millions of dollars on the eve of the Iowa caucus. Her tactics are much more treacherous and deceptive. And again, the video evidence of fraud, which is available online that people go look at for themselves, shows during the caucus that a lot of these caucuses were not actually counting the accurate amount of caucus goers, right? They were counting more for the Hillary Clinton camp than the Bernie camp. And unfortunately, true to form, the Bernie supporters didn't put up much of a fight as they should have. But this is still vote fraud, and there's video evidence of that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting that you said that. So I guess I want to ask you for the last question, kind of projecting into next week, going into New Hampshire. How do you see things playing out? I mean, when we look at New Hampshire, we're talking about New Englanders, and they're a completely different type of voter than people from the Great Plains in many respects. So do you think we'll see some similar results, or can we expect some more surprises next week?
Well, it's always hard to predict. And again, with a lot of the dirty tactics that have been employed, you know, both by Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz, there are a lot of different possibilities. For Bernie Sanders, this is a must win. New Hampshire is a must win. He's going to lose in South Carolina, and you're talking about a lot of wind going out of his sails if he loses in New Hampshire. This is his home turf anyway, being from Vermont. If not, we're going to see a steep decline in interest for Bernie Sanders. And I think Trump actually stands a better chance at winning maybe in New Hampshire as well than he did. And that would prolong the Republican debates and the Republican primaries. But one thing I want to point out when it comes to the bigger picture of this election is that there seems to be a clear overarching agenda here, whether it's from the American aristocracy, the mainstream media in the U.S., as well as the banks and corporations and the foundation community, the non-governmental organizations, to put Hillary Clinton in power. Even Fox News's Rupert Murdoch has recently stated that he could live with Hillary Clinton as president. He's expressed interest in Hillary there. So even despite the rhetoric that's constantly on Fox News, Murdoch is expressing support for Hillary Clinton. Ted Cruz, if he wins the nomination, is ineligible. He is not a natural-born citizen. There's not really a question on that. And Hillary will obviously seize upon that. And I would look at Donald Trump personally, and I think there's plenty of evidence to back up what I say on this, that Donald Trump may be a stalking horse for Hillary Clinton, working for her in the Republican side of the primaries, because he's been wrecking the Republican opposition since day one. So I would look out for that. I think the one to look out for is Hillary Clinton.
Okay, Brandon, thank you very much. We're going to keep our eyes open, and we'll talk to you in the future about this as it develops. Thank you very much for coming on the program. We appreciate it. So we've run all out of time. We're wrapping up our second section, focusing on Iowa. So we're thanking all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Igor Palichari. He's a professor at Luiz University in Rome and the Higher School of Economics here in Moscow. Mr. Brandon Turbeville, he's a writer and geopolitical analyst from the U.S. And Mr. Eric Shiraev, who is a professor of international relations and political psychology at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Coming up on our program, we have Horst Seehofer, from Bavaria to the Kremlin. Stay with us.